Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
What's going on, Longhorn fans? Welcome back to On Texas Football. A little Sunday fun day we got in store for you guys. Of course, I'm CJ Vogel with lifetime Longhorn and Longhorn legend, the greatest number 21 to ever play at the University. We got Rod Babers here to talk, you know, what just occurred this weekend at the NFL draft in Detroit for the Texas Longhorns. A program record-setting weekend, really. 11 players heard their name selected in the 2024 NFL draft. It was the second most selections of any team in the college football landscape from a year ago. Of course, Michigan led the way with 13 draft selections. They ended up winning the national championship. So, Rod, you kind of get an understanding right away of where this NFL talent comes from and how important it is for a given season. But Texas right now with 11 selections in the 2024 NFL draft. Big, big testament for Steve Sarkisian in the direction of his program. Let me get your thoughts on what you saw this weekend. Not only the top-end talent, but some of the guys that we saw make big-time leaps in regards to where their draft status was to where they ended up getting picked as well.
I can't think of the last time Texas had double-digit players drafted. I believe you got to go back to like 1984. Something crazy like that. So Texas had double-digit players drafted. So it does. It just makes Sark's job so much easier. And it's a credit to him and his staff. But development, I think, was on display here. Guys like Christian Jones, guys like Jalen Ford. You're talking about development of guys who, hell, even Byron Murphy can be thrown in that category too, who weren't necessarily guys that were five-star guys coming in, but then developed into being NFL draftable prospects. So I think, once again, it's really tough to negatively recruit against Texas right now because they seem to be able to provide everything that a young prospect could want, because now the final step was they can help you accomplish your NFL dreams now as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like at every single position, you're seeing Texas produce someone into the NFL. Of course, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end and offensive lineman, two interior defensive linemen, Jalen Ford at linebacker, and a guy out of the secondary with Ryan Watts. I mean, my goodness, wherever you feel like Texas is a little bit short in terms of their NFL production right now, it doesn't feel like that trend will continue. And they certainly put on that display this weekend here in Detroit, as we mentioned. Yep. But I wanted to start from the top, of course. Byron Murphy ending up in Seattle, the last Texas Longhorn to end up in Seattle on the line of scrimmage or defensive side of the line. Puna Ford ended up pretty well for Puna Ford there in the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Byron projected anywhere from that 12 to 20 range, lands right in the middle at number 16, was the first guy off the board. Feels like a great fit. This was a four-star guy coming out of DeSoto High School a while ago. Really, really plays with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, it feels like, to me, the Seahawks knew what they wanted. They stuck to their guns, and they got Byron Murphy at 16, future of their interior defensive line.
Yeah, it says a lot. Mike McDonald, who's known as being a defensive guru at both levels, right, college and pro, because of what he did in Michigan and what he did with the Baltimore Ravens, that he chooses as his first draft pick, all right, as a head coach. Now I'm going with Byron Murphy. He went with a dog. That seemed to be more of an identity pick. Because there are a lot of other positions for the Seahawks that they could have went with, but they went with Byron Murphy because I think he wants to build his defense around Byron Murphy as the centerpiece and foundational piece. Says a lot about what they think of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then sticking in the first round, I think this was one of those mock draft marriages that we saw throughout the offseason and leading up to the draft, the Chiefs and Xavier Worthy.
Wow.
Probably we saw it a lot at 32. I had him at 32. They actually traded up. And this will be a conversation I'll have here for the next couple of picks as well. Teams trading up to select Longhorns. But they trade up to 28 with the Buffalo Bills, select the Mr. 4-2-1 right there, the man with the all-time leading fastest combine 40-yard dash ever. Now he's with Patrick Mahomes. That feels like a marriage to me, that little tandem that we'll see making highlights for years to come.
Love it as a Longhorn fan, hate it as a Texans fan. Nick Caserio, the Texans GM, actually mentioned it in his draft media availability. He was talking to the media. That's how you know that's the kind of domino effect. That's the kind of reverberating effect that pick is having all throughout the league. I'll give you one little stat real quick. In the last five seasons, if you go look at Patrick Mahomes' average length of touchdown pass, like the average length of a touchdown pass for him, in 2019, That number was at 17 yards. So his average length of his touchdown pass was 17 yards. In 2023, guys, is less than 4 yards.
Wow.
He has completely changed their offensive identity. They no longer have that verticality within their offense because they lost Tyreek Hill. They're going to bring that back with Xavier Worthy. And even though he didn't have success being a deep threat at Texas, you better believe that Brett Veach believes he can be a deep threat with Patrick Mahomes. So watch that. I think he could be a star in that offense, especially once Travis Kelce retires. They could build that passing game around Xavier Worthy if he proves himself.
Absolutely. Also added Marquise Brown this offseason as well. So the two of them, you know what they like. Sarkisian has his type of wide receivers. Andy Reid certainly does as well. The two of those guys with Kelce and Mahomes. Good luck, AFC fans, for the next couple of years. But to the second round, Devondre Sweat, one of the risers that we saw, according to the national database of mock drafts, which kind of accumulates those big names of Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, you know, Lance Erland, Matt Miller, all those guys are mock drafts kind of put together. Devondre Sweat was at 73. You know, he's a third round guy in those mock drafts. We knew some of the off the field issues were probably a reason for a drop at least.
Yep.
38th, Tennessee Titans joining up with Keandre Coburn. We know that the Titans have that kind of very physical, I'm going to out-physical, out-strengthen you at the line of scrimmage kind of their MO in the years past. Now they got the biggest, heaviest interior defensive lineman the draft has produced in years.
Yep, they got the biggest interior D lineman in the league right now, technically, in terms of his weight. But everybody expects him to lose some weight. As a matter of fact, how about this? If you, Devondre Sweat, one of his quotes after the draft, and I'll give Devondre Sweat credit, he says, if I get to 355, 350 pounds, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer.
I like it.
Which makes me think, you remember that Dane Brugler report that he was close to 390? During the bowl game, maybe he was really heavy because I thought, man, he didn't lose any weight for the combine. Maybe he did lose weight for the combine, and that was down to 366. If he gets down maybe to 355, he's already light, agile. He's a force of nature. I love that pick. Guys, interior defensive linemen are at a premium right now. Last year, if you look at the top 15 highest paid defensive players, half of them were interior defensive linemen. This guy could end up being a diamond in the rough for the Tennessee Titans.
Absolutely. Even at 38, which feels pretty high for him, but to your point, still has that tremendous upside. And to your point about him, you know, remaining the same weight from the playing days to the combine, he didn't weigh in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, which not too recent after the end of the season where he was reportedly at 393. That's probably a good indication as to why. So good luck to Devondre Sweat and Keandre Coburn up there in Tennessee. Leads us to pick number 4, Jonathan Brooks. I mean, my goodness.
Wow.
Right up there at pick number 46, he'll be joining Bryce Young with the Panthers, one of the first Longhorns to be selected by the Panthers. But many thought he would fall kind of to the back end of the second round, of course, coming off the ACL injury. Pick 46, right in the middle of that second round. I mean, Tashard Choice has done it again. What a job.
For the second, you look at it, basically for the second year in a row, the Longhorns had the first running back off the board. Says a lot about that running back room. We've talked about the elite culture they have in that room right now. And if you go look at it, man, Jonathan Brooks, even coming off the surgery, says a lot. I mean, looks like he would have been a first-round pick if not for the injury. That's basically what it tells me. And I look at the running backs they have there. I mean, Chuba Hubbard's there, Miles Sanders there. So they have some running backs this year to help him kind of transition back to full health. But once he's full health, he's going to be the starting running back in Carolina, guys, no doubt. And with the way Bryce Young is looking, he's going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, he's going to need to, of course, because of, you know, still that developmental phase for Bryce Young. Yeah. He was a 4-star running back out of Hallettsville, had to sit a while behind behind Roschon Johnson, Bijan Robinson. Obviously, the time came, was the front runner for the Doak Walker. Now in the NFL, expect some big time moves for him in Carolina. But to one of the biggest surprises, Adonai Mitchell at 52 to the Colts. I believe it's a great fit, right? Next to Pittman over there, Michael Pittman out of USC. He's got a young quarterback with Anthony Richardson who showed a lot of flash at times last year before getting hurt. Feels to me like that offense could really, really surprise some folks in 2024 and beyond, but not where we expected Adonai Mitchell. Of course, He was kind of that guy that we expected the Bills to select, even after trading down twice late in that first round and that pick number 33 to begin the second round. We see him at 52 to the Colts. What are your thoughts there? What are your thoughts on the drop?
I hate to say it, and even Chris Ballard talked about it in his draft day media availability, the rumors, the pre-draft rumors about certain guys and whether they are substantiated or not, or whether they're false or just totally made up. It doesn't matter. I do believe those rumors that came out right before the draft about him and his how he handles his diabetes and whether he's going to need a handler or this kind of stuff, which I think was just ridiculous. And even Chris Ballard, he implied, too, that it was ridiculous and it's a bunch of BS. He was dropping F-bombs and all kind of stuff in his press conference. He was upset about it. And even Deion remarked that it does happen. He said when he covered the draft, he said teams were just throwing out all types of BS to drop players' draft stock. I think it worked. I think it dropped his draft stock. Now, how much of it is true, I have no idea. But I think that's what happened to him. But I like the fit. They are basically drafting him to replace what's his name, Pierce. Pierce was that vertical X. They were supposed to be able to win man to man consistently for the Colts. He hasn't been doing that. That's why they're drafting A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell's he wins against man. I think he's in the 83rd percentile and 84th percentile winning against man and winning against press. They have Josh Downs there as a slot receiver. They got Michael Pittman, as you mentioned. He's their flanker. They move him around. He's their high-volume guy. They need somebody that can win man-to-man consistently when they get it. A.D. Mitchell is that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going back to Carolina at 101, a bit of a drop again, falling out of the third round for Jatavion Sanders was the first pick in the fourth round. Day three started out very quickly for the Longhorns. Former five-star guy in the 2021 class. We knew him coming in. The tight end position was going to take some time. We saw big-time plays at moments. Still had some learning curves going into the NFL. But joining Bryce Young and Jonathan Brooks now with the Panthers feels like a fit where he'll see a lot of targets at the very least.
I think he'll be starting for them in 2 years. I do. I'm looking at the tight ends they have. Chris Pierre, Jordan Matthews is a good tight end. But Ian Thomas, Tommy Trimble, Stephen Sullivan. Gosh, JT Sanders is going to be starting it for the Panthers in 2 years.
Lots of opportunity.
Yeah, that's my prediction. I do believe that. I think Jonathan Brooks will be starting running back, and JT Sanders will be the starting tight end, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's where you find tight ends, by the way. Mark Andrews, third round. Kittle, fifth round. Kelsey, third round. You find tight ends in the middle round. It's a middle round position pretty much.
And we saw that drop simply because of the pre-draft workouts, whether it be the combine, the pro day, just wasn't good for Jatavion Sanders. At the end of the day, Texas still had 11 guys drafted. They had six in the top 101. You would have liked to have had six in the top 100, but regardless, you do see Jatavion Sanders end up in a spot where eventually it feels like he will be the guy at the tight end position. And that's really all you can ask for at the end of the day. Moving to Christian Jones, and this will probably have some Red River rivalry folks split at the end of the day. Kyler Murray now has some new protection in Christian Jones, going 162 in round five. This was a guy out of the 2018 class, one of the older statesmen in the room, had to really work his way into draft consideration, and boy, did he, going 162, 100-plus draft spots before the conclusion of this year's draft. Congrats to Christian Jones for that continued development, and to Kyle Flood, who can now put a feather in his cap again by saying, yeah, Christian Jones, former three-star guy, we put him into the league very quickly in the fifth round.
Yeah, played guard and tackle right at the Senior Bowl. I think he projects as a guard in the NFL, but he's a guy that got better every year. If you look at his rate of development, right, he's a guy basically, he's a freshman in high school. He's what? 6'1", 6'2", 210 pounds. He's had this body probably for about 5 or 6 years, 6, 7 years, somewhere around there. I think the NFL believes he's got a really high upside as a player and that he has not come close to hitting his ceiling. So good for Christian Jones. He's one of those guys that embodies the development that has really gone to a different level here at Texas.
Absolutely. Whereas Texas has supplemented that with portal additions, and that leads us straight to Keelan Robinson, maybe the surprise of the draft for the Texas Longhorns, going 167 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Rod, I got to tip my cap a little bit to you. You called this. You know, the change in the kickoff rules creates a market for guys like Keelan Robinson, guys who can get on the field and be productive on the offensive side of the ball. But more than that, be a game-changing playmaker in special teams, specifically the kickoff game. And the Jaguars, to me at least, used that pick on Robinson to go be a game-changer, essentially. Yep. Only 12 rushing attempts, but use a fifth-round pick on Keelan Robinson, 4.42 in the 40, 20 rounds on the bench at the combine. He did enough, and congratulations to Keelan for a new home alongside Trevor Lawrence in that Jags backfield.
There's no doubt the best kickoff returner in this class, period. And usually, I mean, the last 5 or 6 years, that had no value. Nobody would even mention that about right. a player. That makes you an undrafted free agent. You're a specialist, essentially, but not anymore. The NFL changing those kickoff rules. There are some teams that want that hidden yardage. They believe there's a lot of value there. I believe there's a lot of value there. Keelan Robinson now finds himself home as a drafted prospect. So I think that means, no doubt, they're going to find a home for him. And if he does show his worth on kickoff return, I guarantee you they're going to try to use him as a boutique player offensively and say, hey, let's just find him space. If we can create space for him, he can be a good player for us or a weapon for us. Same thing that Sark did at Texas. Same role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This whole run right now for the Longhorns, it really felt like every other pick was a Longhorn. Oregon had a run like that with four guys in 10 picks in the fourth round. Kentucky very similarly had a run. Michigan in the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds seemingly had a guy every fourth pick. But the third pick in 13 draft selections was Jalen Ford going to New Orleans, where he will have a chance to redeem his last trip to, you know, to the boot. And the Superdome as a member of the Saints, going 175 in the 5th round. A bit of a drop for Jalen Ford, but as the lowest rated recruit in his draft class, or in his recruiting class, excuse me, for the Longhorns, speaks to the development under Pete Kwiatkowski. Of course, Jeff Choate deserves a lot of credit here as well. But man, that development issue at Texas, completely, disband. You can't bring that up anymore.
Yeah.
No shot.
No, they've shattered the narrative. I'm with you. I mean, they've totally shattered the narrative. They've done it in a 2-year span, pretty much, since starting out camp, because it wasn't – obviously, when he first got here in 2021, this was not the case. So they've done a tremendous job. And once again, Jalen Ford's another example of it. Him being drafted in the 5th round, it's partly, yes, he had a down year compared to what he did his junior year. If he left his junior year, probably would have been drafted at least a round higher, if not higher than that. But that's where that position is drafted. Off-ball linebackers. I mean, you go look at it. Fred Warner was a 3rd-round pick, and Drake Greenlaw was a 5th-round pick. That's around where those off-ball linebackers, a non-premium position, is drafted. So just because he's drafted there does not mean that he's not a guy that can make a roster. I think he's a guy that can and will make an NFL roster. I do believe that.
Especially in New Orleans, who plays a very physical style of football on the defensive front 7. Feels like a great fit to me. That rounds up the top the first 5 rounds. Texas still has 2 guys remaining. Ryan Watts, the transfer out of Ohio State, started the last 2 years. Goes top 200. A bit of a surprise. I actually had him going 178 to the Steelers.
Nailed it, though. Yeah, you nailed it.
I liked it. I thought Mike Norman, again, works a lot with that secondary. Length. Nice. Big physical defensive backs. It kind of fits the MO of what we've seen out of Steel Curtain defenses in years past. Now he has an opportunity to go join one of the league's top defenses and play for Mike Tomlin, who seemingly always finds a way to make the playoffs go 500. Good fit for me and for Ryan Watts to see him join the Steelers. I'm happy that he was able to do so. The only Longhorn defensive back in this year's draft found a home.
It's a hell of a compliment to have Mike Tomlin draft you if you're a DB. He was my old DB coach when I was with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So he's an old DB coach. That means he takes it a little bit personally. And for him to draft Ryan Watts, I think it means a lot. And by the way, Ryan Watts has options. So I think he's going, even if he doesn't make it at corner, they're going to try him at safety. So I think initially they may try him at corner. And then if he doesn't work out at corner, all right, we're moving to safety. Because he said half the teams, they were interviewing him to do both or to do one or the other. So he said that it was not just safety that they were projecting him to play. But you go look at his measurables. His 40-yard dash was a little slow, but it was 4.55 for a guy that's 6'3". But his vertical, he was 6th at the combine for corners in vertical. He was 2nd in the 3-cone, 4th in the shuttle. His gauntlet drill was the best gauntlet drill out of any of the corners. He just showed a change of direction we didn't see on film, really. TJ, at least it didn't translate. And I think NFL coaches are like, no, I want to see that in person. Can that 6'3 guy really move like that? And if he can, I can find a way to develop that into being NFL, to being him being an NFL defensive back.
Rod, it was almost the complete opposite of what we saw from Jatavion Sanders. Every number impressed. Every number exceeded the expectations.
Yeah.
It paid off. So congratulations to Ryan Watts and the work that he put in the offseason.
No doubt.
Of course, things ended, you know, probably on a foot that Texas fans probably would have preferred to have been a little bit nicer. But again, putting guys in the NFL has the opportunity to be a big benefit and plus for the Longhorns moving forward, specifically in recruiting. And no one will be able to be more excited about joining the NFL family and seeing what they can do in the league for Texas fans than Jordan Whittington joining Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams at pick 213 in the sixth round. Wow. I thought maybe he could sneak into the seventh. Probably a free agent, to his credit. And I also do think Steve Sarkisian bringing Sean McVay down to Austin like for the coach's clinic obviously doesn't weigh too heavily. But similarly to what we saw a year ago with Dan Quinn coming down and the Cowboys snagging DeMarvion Overshown in the third round, to me it feels like there's a little bit of some extra juice in the market there for the Texas wide receiver. Of course, the heartbeat of the program for the last year or two, Jordan Whittington, 213 to the LA Rams.
And to that point, CJ, because that's an astute observation. That's money right there. I love that nugget. There was also another personal recommendation for Overshown by Jerry Jones's grandson, Paxton Anderson, who was a member of that team. And I wouldn't doubt at all, a young man that I got a chance to speak to on the Third and Longhorns podcast. Shout out to my man, Nick Shuley, Derek Johnson, Fozzie Whitaker, Alex Okafor, Jeremy Hills. They do a great job. Tate Haver.
Oh, yeah.
Who is Les Snead's son, who is the GM of the Rams.
Great call.
And I wouldn't doubt if there's a little personal recommendation. Like, hey, this dude, he's a ball player and he's a great locker room guy. Great culture fit. I wouldn't doubt there was some of that also. So to your point about Dan Quinn coaching clinic, just like Sean McVay coaching clinic this year, and then you got Jerry Jones's grandson, Paxton Anderson, with that personal recommendation. We know that happened. I don't know that Tate Haver recommended Jay Witt personally, but I think we all can see that it probably points to that. Probably points to that.
I think you're right. I think that's a good call. So that indicates one thing for me. Texas continue to have coordinators and head coaches come down to speak to the high school coaches, as well as finding kids to, you know, sons of NFL GMs or ownerships to come walk onto the program. I think that's they're onto something there. It doesn't hurt.
Hey, if it's worth a draft pick every year, it's a good idea.
Absolutely. But hey, to the point, 11 selections for the Texas Longhorns, the most since 1984, where they had 17. It just feels like the new era of Texas football is here, and we've certainly seen it with the college football playoff berth and 11 selections. Also need to shout out Ryan Sandburn signing a undrafted free agent agreement with the Atlanta Falcons. I broke that news late Saturday night. And then, of course, Jet Bush, who ended up in New England, where we've seen plenty of Texas Longhorns sign undrafted free agent deals and end up having quite lengthy, successful careers. It would not surprise me one bit, even with Belichick gone, to see Jet Bush find a way to have a successful career, starting on special teams and branching into much more. But, Rod, final thoughts on the draft, the weekend that entailed a lot of highlights, a lot of fireworks for the Texas football program.
It did. It felt like another celebration for Texas football. And once again, confirming that this program is back to being a championship contender. And it seems like, at least based on all of the different things that we're observing, it seems like there's sustainability here. Remember 2018 happened. It was like, we're back. Shout out to Sam. I love Sam. I love Bam Bam Sam. But Texas wasn't back, right? That was an aberration. That was an outlier. Texas actually wasn't back. This seems and feels different, and it seems like there's more sustainability with it.
And to your point, second most draft selections, also second in SEC returning production, according to ESPN's Bill Connolly. The SP Plus rankings has Texas at a 70% production returning, despite all of these guys that we just went over. If that doesn't get you excited, I'm not sure what will, but it certainly debunks the idea that Texas is covered as bare talent-wise, yep, and also backs up the idea that Texas, yeah, and Steve Sarkisian has figured out this roster construction thing, and this thing is going to continue moving well into its first year into the SEC. So all in all, Texas, we talked about it after the combine, big winner of the combine with the guys that lit it up there. Big winner again at the NFL draft as the school with the second most NFL selections in this year's draft. Of course, that'll do it for today. Enjoy your Sunday fun day. Oh, and come join the On Texas Football community. Come be an OTF OG where you can join me, Rod Babers, Jerry Hamilton, and Bobby Burton for $39.95 a year. That's $20 off the annual subscription purchase. Come join us on ontexasfootball.com and join us. Get all the latest updates, recruiting, team intel, everything that goes into it. But for Rod Babers, lifetime Longhorn, I'm CJ Vogel. This has been On Texas Football. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.